joining us this morning. We're going to talk about a couple of things. 97 South Song Sessions be coming up again this summer. Looking forward to that. But we're going to talk a bit about just sort of what's been happening in the music industry. It seems really very popular over the last 6 months to a year. But the joining us this morning, the founder of 97 South Song Sessions, but music industry CEO, and Robert Arat joining us now. Robert, it's always a pleasure to chat with you. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Alan.
Well, we'll get to what's coming up this summer, but wanted to get your take on this. You know, I remember like decades ago, the only time I really heard of this was when I remember Michael Jackson, he had bought the rights to the Beatles catalog, but then he had to sell it back to Paul McCartney. And that's not something we've really heard of, but what over the last few years, it's really been a trend. But now it seems all of these classic artists, Robert, selling their catalogs. And is it sort of the sign of how the music industry is going this day and age? Like, what is the reason? I mean, there's a lot of money involved. That's probably a good one, but just get your take on that. I know Bob Dylan, I think, just sold his for like $200 million recently.
Yeah, in my past life, this is what I did for a living, basically acquiring music catalogs from artists and promoting them and developing them sometimes introducing the songs to a new generation, hopefully. At any rate, you aptly point out Michael Jackson was one of the early players in this new and evolving situation, where last year I think some circa $5 billion went into the space, and I see this year there are more large institutional players coming on the field with billions more. So, you know, what's the reason for that? Well, the reason is that you've got a legacy of songwriting and songs and popular music that will never come again, will never be recreated. Hopefully, you know, the artists of our present generation put out similarly great work, and we have that to look forward to. But this is largely about the past and these great legacy works of art. And, you know, institutions are looking at them for a number of reasons. First of all, you know, we've been promised the metaverse and further globalization, and we have a rising middle class around the world, not just in America anymore. And I think there's hope that there's a lot of growth in that area. And you also look at the history of this. I mean, Michael Jackson, that you pointed out, I think he paid about $47.5 million for the Beatles catalog, and it was sold not too long ago for around $750 million. So I think at the time people thought that was an eye-watering number that he paid, but clearly it was prescient because of what happened in history. And I think these new players that are on the field putting this money into buying catalogs are hopeful of the same outcome. And of course, like everything else right now, these assets are red hot, like real estate, because also being aided by fairly cheap money out there, you know, low interest rates, that kind of thing. So that's there as well, and the rarity of these things.
Well, it's one of those things, too. I know someone had said to me, we were sort of talking about when Springsteen did, and they said, so what if the boss decides he's going to put out some more new music? How does that work? Like, who owns the rights to the music? I guess, you know, from people that are outside of the music industry, there are some questions that people are wondering about.
Well, I think when this works best, and obviously a lot of people have a lot of skin in the game when they're paying these kinds of eye-watering numbers for these legacy artworks, they also want things to go well, and they want to promote the artists, and, you know, and When I was in the chair, I bought the catalog of Rush, by example, the rock band Rush, and we were very intent on developing those catalogs and putting out greatest hits packages and things that the fans wanted to see, and developing along with the band, their legacy and promoting it to new generations going forward. So. You know, I think it can be a symbiotic partnership, and it can be a good thing in the best case scenario. And I think that's everybody's hope for the outcome.
And then I should mention too, I guess, Robert, that, you know, you think of like David Bowie's catalog. You know, recently I know music's been used in like with Peloton, which has had their ups and downs. But I mean, there's that part of it too, where that artist now, they can just sort of their music. They've sold it, but someone else can find a better way to, be able to implement the music in different ways, right?
Well, I don't know about you, but exercising is bad enough. If you can't listen to music on top of it, what are you doing? So, I think the marriage between exercise and music is longstanding, and obviously lots of folks out there with various products are trying to embed music in their lifestyle oriented products, and that makes a lot of sense because people enjoy music with just about everything, and so that's an understandable progression. And obviously, we're going to have music embedded in every last thing there is. Video games, obviously, it's a big part of that experience. When the metaverse develops, people will be listening to music in their virtual environments. There's nothing we like to do that we don't like to do better with music.
Ain't that the truth? Yeah. Well, speaking of that, let's talk a bit about it's coming back again this July, 97 Self Song Sessions, and it is about those who create the music. Talk a bit about that and the dates people should know, Robert.
All right. Thank you. 97 Self Song Sessions, don't say that quickly, is coming back July 21, 2, and 3 of 2022 in Penticton, British Columbia at the Convention Center. We have a great show lineup coming. This show is like a Bluebird style songwriters in the round show where songwriters of hit songs come and play their songs and explain how those songs came to be, explain their musical journey, talk about their careers, let the audience inside behind the curtain of what happens in the life of a music artist. And I've got some great people coming, folks like Jeff Trott, who co-wrote a lot of the great Sheryl Crow catalog, including Every Day's a Winding Road and Run Baby Run, and some great, fantastic songs. Chris DiStefano, who's a hitter from Nashville, Big Music Row hit songwriter. He's written for Carrie Underwood and Rascal Flatts and many others. Tim Nichols, a Grammy Award winner, wrote Live Like You Were Dying. Mark Jordan. And there's a lot of exciting announcements coming up in the coming weeks about who else is joining.
And obviously, from just having it, I know that, we've been in COVID times, Robert, but it's obviously, when you've had this here in Penticton, it's been a success and a hit, and this is why we can make it an annual event now, right?
Yeah, last year, thankfully, we were able to present the show despite COVID. We just got lucky with the timing and of course, persevered also because this is something we love to do and love to share with our audiences. So we're very hopeful that we'll be in a different position this summer than we have been in the last couple of years, and that we'll be much more free and open and able to enjoy live music together in a room again. I know everybody was very excited about it last year.
Well, well received, and while we're chatting about it, it is in July, but can people get their tickets now and get ready for it?
You absolutely can. The tickets are available at 97southsongsessions.com, and I think it's very obvious when you go up on our website, which also has a lot of great information about the artists who are coming and what the show's about, and as a bit of video that you can take a look at. I note that half of the audience that we had last year came from outside of the region, from Toronto, from all the provinces really, and Calgary and Edmonton and Manitoba, Saskatchewan, Lower Mainland BC. So the audience comes from all over the place, and therefore, we're hopeful they make plans ahead of time because I know the Valley is going to be very busy this summer.
Well, looking forward to that. I hope it really is. And I hope we get a chance to talk a couple more times down the road leading into it. And thanks for setting it up again, but also just talking about, what's going on in the music industry. And always love to hear your perspective and appreciate your time as always, Robert.
Well, thanks, Alan. Good to talk to you. And I look forward to doing it again soon.